Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Text comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. A voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." We pray. Lord Jesus, you are the one who knows our hearts, and you know the true reality of everything. So we pray that you would speak to us today, each personally, to tell us how we need to prepare and be ready for your coming. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Be seated. How many of you have been to a concert before? All right. Hoping that everybody. Or a band, maybe. Or maybe a rock band. Somebody go to that? Yeah. Maybe back in the day when you were younger. I remember talking to some members who went to see an Aerosmith concert not too long ago. There's always that time where there's the opening act and it's not really that, you know, might be good, but nobody's really coming to see the opening act, right? They're just kind of there to warm up the crowd a little bit, right, for the main event. But then there is the time when there is a reveal. When the lights dim, the announcer comes on. This is now for the person you've all been waiting for. This is it. And he announces the band, whatever it is. And the lights come on. And the person comes on the stage with thunderous applause. Wild expressions of joy and jubilation. And they see it. They see the person they have longed to see. What a wonderful, glorious display it is. It's the visual we get in the book of Isaiah. It's longing for someone to come, to be revealed, for his presence to be there, for his glory to be revealed. Who's the person you most desire to see this Christmas? Is it a friend or a family member? Is it a relative? Do you wish maybe to see someone that is no longer with us? Think of how excited we can get to see a person. How much preparation goes into that special concert that you want to see. Make sure you order the tickets in advance, you reserve the seat, you tell your friends, right? You gotta see this band, this is just awesome. You gotta see this concert, my kids are in it. You gotta see this play, you gotta see this performer, it's just amazing. It's gonna be a sight to behold and hear and experience. Looking around on the internet a little bit, it's estimated that U2, the band, spends $750 just to prepare the stage for one concert. $750,000. Thousands. Imagine the people that would come to flock to see a Katy Perry concert. We were over here in Central America. There was a huge traffic jam because Katy Perry was coming to town. And it took us forever to get where we wanted to go. And some people are even parking miles away just so they could walk and be there in time to see her. I get it. Not all of you like Katy Perry. I don't blame you. What about if you were meeting the president? If you were meeting Bill Gates, one of the wealthiest people in the world, Mark Zuckerberg, the creator of Facebook, multi-billion-dollar corporation, Abraham Lincoln, maybe someone from the past, George Washington, one of your heroes, Genghis Khan, the great kings, Julius Caesar. Would you pass up that opportunity to see them? I think it'd be pretty cool, right? I think it would be. And now it's becoming more and more probable that maybe we'll see the glory of a Vikings Super Bowl, right? Just maybe. Can you imagine the celebration? Oh, finally they get to raise the glory of the Lombardi Trophy. What a sight to behold. And yet, for all this wonderful displays and experiences and amazing people that we could meet, Isaiah has something to say about it. He says, all those people that you think would be so incredible to meet, let me tell you what they're like. They're like a blade of grass. And you blow on it, and it's gone. Just like that. It's like a blade of grass. You can get so excited about it. The reality is, there's someone far greater that's coming. This isn't about a famous person. This isn't about someone who has some words of wisdom. It's not about a famous ancestor. It's not about a famous earthly ruler. It's about the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Think about that. God's glory. It's talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not just a king, the king. Not just someone who has some words of wisdom, the author of wisdom, the author of life, the holder of keys of death and Hades. Opens the gates of heaven. The I Am. The Eternal One. The First and the Last. The Beginning and the End. The Alpha and the Omega. The Everlasting Father. The Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God. The Prince of Peace. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And do we think that something or someone is more important than him? Than getting ready for him? How can we? Right? When we think about who God is and what he's done, what a wonderful message that Isaiah has to speak to us. That's why he says, get it up on a high mountain. Herald, get up and don't be afraid. Shout it out. And what's the news? Behold, your God. Your God has come. Your Lord. The one who had forsaken you for your sins and rejected you and sent you into exile. has come back. Because he is a God of might. It says in verse 10, he's going to come with might. And also in verse 11, he comes with compassion. Like a compassionate shepherd who gathers lambs in his arms, carries them close to his heart, gently leading them. He comes with power. What if you didn't know how strong this person was that was going to come? What? They might be assassinated. They might be taken out. They might not come. Something might delay them. Maybe they find something else is more important. But God comes with might, with an outstretched arm. His arm is a symbol of power. He says, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, I pulled you out of Egypt from the hands of Pharaoh, a supposedly untouchable superpower. He's coming with might, meaning his might is unmatched might. There's no one who's going to delay him. There's no one who's going to stop him. There's no one who can prevent him from doing what he's going to do. Now, if that was all there is, it would be terrifying, wouldn't it? Just someone comes with power. Wow. What if they use it against me? What if it's they don't find me favorable? And that's why we remember verse 11, that he comes in compassion as well. So that his might doesn't have to become something that we fear, but rather something that assures us that his power is going to accomplish his plan of mercy for his people. He's going to come as a good and faithful shepherd. And as he gathers us, even though gently, we know that no one can snatch us out of his hands, out of his arms. This is the God who comes. What a mysterious picture that we find. Can anything give us more joy? Can anything give us more peace and more hope? To know that this, the creator of the universe, loves us and has come for us and is coming again to make all things new. How can it be that we find other things so often so much more important and get excited about so many other things and are afraid about sharing this one most beautiful thing in the entire history of the world, that God has come. God has come. And he's come for you, and he's come for me. And you don't have to prepare through buying a ticket. You don't have to put on nice clothes. You don't have to clean the house. What does he want you to prepare? He wants you to prepare your hearts. Acknowledge him as the Lord of your life. Because my lordship leads to sin, leads to death, leads to hell. So often we view repentance as this thing like, it's this burden that God is just being mean to us because he wants us to repent and actually live the life we're created to live and have the joy and the peace and the hope that we were created to have, right? Does that sound like a bad thing? Yet in our sinful nature, we think, oh, repent. You can turn from those things that I like, that I was enjoying, or that I thought was good and was harming me, right? It was leading to death. Thinking about myself, building for a kingdom that I know is just going to be blown on and dissolved, like 2 Peter says. It's all going to be gone, and then on that day when I realize it, it's going to be too late, and I'll be lost forever. Is this a bad message to hear? Did we get angry about hearing this message? Or rather rejoice that we know the truth? We no longer have to live on our own. We no longer have to live as the kings of our life. We no longer have to live in despair. We no longer have to live as slaves to our pride, the stupid pride that we all have. We think it's all about us, and we can never admit we're wrong. We can never do anything unless we get a benefit out of it. How much pain do we go through in our lives because of that? And Jesus comes to set us free from all that. Because now he gives us everlasting hope and peace and forgiveness. Comfort. Comfort. My people. Are you listening, my people? I'm giving you comfort. I'm here. It's no longer you have to live like I'm not here. Or like I don't love you. Or that I don't care for you. Or that I haven't forgiven you. I've come. And no one can stop me. I've come to be your Savior. And this is why the Lord waits. It's not that someone is preventing God from returning. Just as he arrived at the precise moment he wanted to with Jesus' birth, he'll arrive at the precise day he wants to when he comes again. 2 Peter says he's patient, wanting all people to come to what? Repentance. Acknowledgement of our sins and of Jesus as Lord of my life. Everything else leads to being blown away, dissolved, gone. No matter how good or how great it seems at the moment, it's all going to be gone. So how should we live then? Should we live for the things that are just going to blow away? Because we're afraid of the pain that's going to happen if we say something or go against someone. Oh no. They might kill me or say something naughty about me. I got eternal glory. I got the hope of the resurrection of the dead. The life everlasting. God wants his people to be confident. Confident not in ourselves, but in his promise, his presence. Because all those other words that you're afraid of, all those other words from culture, sounds so appealing about the pursuit of happiness, and this is how we really find peace. It's going to fade away. But the word of our Lord endures forever. It endures forever. It doesn't matter if you don't like who it's coming from. It doesn't matter how you're feeling. It doesn't matter how your circumstances are. It doesn't matter how you think. It's not really true. It's still there. And will always be there. The one truth, the one hope, the one assurance that can give us life and peace. The word of God. And it's a good word. It's a good word for you. And he comes to be your Savior. It's so key in that verse, in verse 3. Prepare the way of the Lord. Just think of how much we prepare for anything else. God doesn't want us to necessarily try harder or to make ourselves look better. Right? What does God want? He wants this. He wants control of this. and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. That's how we get ready. So it's simple. We ask ourselves, Lord, what am I doing that's against your will? What am I doing that's not glorifying your name? What am I loving and fearing and trusting in more than you? And give me the power to change, and then I live like he's going to do it, because he has. Because he's baptized us with the Holy Spirit. The King of Glory has come to dwell in our hearts. How incredible. How incredible. You can forget about all the times in your life when it didn't feel like it made a difference, and all the times in your life when you lived like it wasn't true. It doesn't matter. It's gone. It's forgiven. What about today? Today is the day. It's the present that matters. Nothing else. Today is the day. God calls us to be ready. To put our faith and our trust and our hope in him. To live for him today. And be free from the guilt of the past and the worry of the future. And rest in his arms, his guidance, today. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it. It's for everybody. It doesn't matter for people who didn't believe he existed or thought it wasn't important. He's still coming. Question is, will it be a time of joy or be a time of sorrow for judgment for wickedness, right? But for us who look up to the Lord in repentance right now, we don't have to fear his judgment. We can rejoice that he's going to come. Because he's taken our punishment on the cross, risen from the dead, he's on the loose, he's dwelling in us. We know. It's all true. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How much more powerful of a statement can you get than that? The parents ever say, because I said so. You ask them to do something, well, why do I do that? Because I said so. Just do it. Powerful thing, right? The voice of the parent. They know a lot. Seems like they know a lot when you're young. Probably do know a lot more than you. A lot of things are true. But we're the children. God is the Father. He knows. He knows what we need. When he speaks, we can always know what's true. Regardless of where we are, how we feel, what we have, what we're going through, it endures forever. So we can live like that's not true and live restless and despairing and live the same way as if God's not really with us. Or we can live like he is. Like he's here today. Let that be the thing that you look forward to the most when you come to worship, that you get to encounter the living God. He's going to be with you. To give you his word that endures forever today. And equip you to put your hope, your faith, your trust, and your life in him. Let us give the world something to look at. Something to hear. In a world that thinks that we are irrelevant. And that God is dead. And it's all a lie. Sends you like John the Baptist to go out, proclaim to the world repentance, yes. Why? Because there's life in Jesus Christ. Eternally. Don't worry about what they say. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Because you know it's true. It endures forever. So our lives become not this restless pursuit of, look at me. I got to worry about what people think of me. But it's all for Him. It's all for Him. And the God of peace and hope and the Lord of glory, prepare your hearts and minds for His return. And rejoice in the comfort of God's coming to you at Christmas as your Savior. In His name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.